Welcome to Financial Repression Authority's Roundtable Insight, where the best fund managers, economists, and industry leaders discuss the key investment issues and challenges in the current macroeconomic environment.
Hi, welcome to FRA's Roundtable Insight. This is Richard Benulli. Today we have Doug Casey, the founder of Casey Research, with us. He's also known as a great author. He has a new novel called The Speculator out. Welcome, Doug.
Thank you, Richard. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm speaking to you at the moment from Punta del Este, Uruguay, where I usually spend a month or two every year at this time of year.
That sounds great. And how is your new novel? Would you like to discuss like what is it is about and just your thoughts on relative to the other books that you've written?
Yeah, well, my first book was a book called The International Man, a guidebook to making the most of your personal freedom and financial opportunity around the world. That came out in 1977 and turned out to be the largest selling book in the history of Rhodesia, where I spent a lot of time during the war. And that is a record that will never be bettered for obvious reasons. And then my next book was Crisis Investing that came out in 79. About the collapse that happened in 80 to 82. And that was number one on the New York Times list for like 18 or 19 weeks. And there's a number of others that I like a lot. But Speculator is the first of a series of six novels following our hero, Charles Knight. And he starts out going to Africa to look at a gold mining project that he got lucky on. And so it's an adventure novel about a bush war in Africa and how he made a couple hundred million dollars and how it's stolen from him. And it's actually an excellent novel. If I do say so myself, everybody thinks their book is the best thing since sliced bread. But yeah. John Williams, the founder of Autodesk, who's billionaire. Yeah, he just lives in Switzerland and reads books. That's all he wants to do.
Yeah.
And he's got the right to do that. He designated it as the best novel of 2016, and I don't even know Mr. Williams, so I'm very honored. But anyway, I guess that's the big thing. And then the second in the series, Drug Lord, where Charles becomes a drug lord, where we explain the drug business pretty much the way we explain the mining business. So anyway. That's kind of
very interesting, yeah.
At the moment. Well, I've got other hobbies, but that's a big one.
Now, during the financial crisis, you were able before to see that coming, you know, around the 2007, 2008 timeframe, and then we sort of meandered out of that. You've mentioned we're in the eye of the hurricane and see a sort of phase two of the financial crisis coming. Any ideas on that? Any updates? Where do you see it potentially coming from, like in terms of risks that could catapult that into the phase two?
Yeah. We entered, as far as the way I like to phrase it or describe it, is that we entered the hurricane in 2007. And the governments of the world, not just the Americans, but the Euro governments, Japan, China, and all these minor governments papered it over by printing up scores of trillions of new currency units. So that was throwing a little bit of oil on the water. And I'm surprised that we haven't gone out of the eye of the hurricane into the trailing edge yet. But I think we're entering the trailing edge of the hurricane as we speak. And it's going to be much different and much longer lasting and much, much worse than the unpleasantness that we all experienced in 2008 and 2009. This is something that I think it's the biggest deal that will have happened since the Industrial Revolution 200 years ago, but not in a good way.
So do you see it coming or starting getting speed from perhaps like a credit bubble bursting in China or from something out of Europe in terms like a sovereign debt crisis, maybe Italy leaving the euro, or where do you see it starting and getting speed?
Well, I think the euro itself is a dead duck currency. It's always been an Esperanto currency that's been created out of whole cloth. If the U.S. dollar is an IOU nothing on the part of a bankrupt U.S. government, the euro is a who owes you nothing.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
It's a disaster waiting to happen, and I'm always looking for opportunities to short the euro generally by selling naked calls in the futures market. So that's going to be interesting. I think the European Union itself is going to break up. And that's actually a good thing because most people are unaware of the fact that Brussels has gone from a sleepy little town in the old days. It's got 50,000 employees and hangers-on to the European Union right now. So all those people are going to hopefully lose their jobs because they serve no useful purpose except trying to regulate French cheeses and do all kinds of stupid things.
Okay.
So, if the Europeans want a free trade zone, all they have to do is drop duties. You don't need a gigantic bureaucracy in Brussels to do that. So that's another thing that's going to happen. But there's we're going into a time of real chaos. I mean, one of the big things that we're going to see is migration from Africa, especially Africa south of the Sahara.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like a million and a half migrants that came to Europe this year. But in the future, it's going to be scores of millions because most people are unaware of the fact that demographics, which are one of the few things in the world that are fairly reliable when you're coming to predicting, 42% of the world's population will be African by the year 2100.
Wow.
And if I was a young African guy, I promise you, I would do anything to get to Europe because everything's better and they're under the impression, a correct impression, that they arrive there, they get free food, shelter, clothing in Europe. So it's going to be an invasion of Europe by Africans. That's going to continue and compound. That's going to be a big thing. But at the same time, I spend a lot of time in Africa and the Chinese are also taking over the continent. So it's going to be, and it's going to be a race war, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Very interesting. I think a lot of Europeans are going to wind up coming here to South America, especially to Argentina, Uruguay, and Chile. So that's the big picture.
Yeah, I was in the Marriott at Beijing doing some consulting there, and I couldn't extend my stay because of the conference on minerals from African countries being held there by the Chinese. It's quite interesting.
Yes, it is. It's a strictly commercial relationship because in Africa, on the ground, the Chinese and the Africans do not get along together at all. Strictly commercial.
Mm.
And the Chinese will not be interested in losing their money there. So this is not going to end well, I think.
Yeah. And what's happening in India? What are your thoughts there? There seems to be a war on physical cash. They've managed to get rid of 86% or so of physical cash. And it seems to be becoming like a police state. Your thoughts?
I totally agree with you, Richard. It's incredibly stupid on the part of Modi to do something like that. I mean, half the people in India are still earning $1 or $2 a day, something like that. He's destroying lives. I don't know where that'll end, but unfortunately, this is something that's happening to one degree or another all around the world, where governments are trying to get rid of cash. And this is catastrophic from an economic point of view, but more importantly, from a personal freedom point of view. Because without cash, I mean, they all want to go the way of Sweden or Finland, which is yeah. doing this too.
Wow.
Even in Uruguay, here where I am now, this is starting to happen, where, you know, they have these ridiculous memes about, oh, we've got to stop drug dealing. We've got to stop tax evasion. We've got to stop money laundering, which is not even a real crime, but they've made everybody believe it's a crime. So, yeah, they want to get rid of cash. But when that happens, everything you do goes through a bank. Everything you do is monitored. There's absolutely no privacy at that point. It's very, very disturbing. And especially in India, which is technologically backward, it's going to turn into a complete disaster. It is turning into a disaster now. But most Americans, especially, think the world ends at the Mexican and Canadian borders. So
do you see it happening in the U.S., Canada, for a movement towards away from cash?
Yes, it's definitely happening because, for instance, the idiot savant Larry Summers ran up a trial balloon saying we should get rid of the $100 bill, get rid of the $50 bill, and everybody will have to do things digitally with their smartphone. This is a very, very bad thing from an economic point of view, but more importantly, from a personal freedom point of view. And it is happening everywhere in the world because all these government officials talk to each other and they all seem to share a common philosophy, one that I don't agree with.
Yeah, I think there's so many unsustainable trends with government deficits, pension funds, public pension fund liabilities, obligations, entitlements. I think I've seen somewhere where in the U.S. 10% of the budget in terms of entitlements and escalating. Any thoughts on that? Just, you know, unsustainability.
Oh, it's actually worse than that, because when you look at U.S. government spending, and I think now with Mr. Trump in office, he understands business, but he does not understand economics. They're two different things.
Yeah.
We're going to be running $1 trillion per year deficits as far as the eye can see. And as the world goes into the Greater Depression, or the next stage of the Greater Depression, more accurately, it could go well above $1 trillion because he wants to spend more on infrastructure and cut taxes. And I'm all for cutting taxes. But, I mean, the U.S. government's going to become manifestly bankrupt. I don't know where they're going to raise that money. It can only be by selling the debt to the Federal Reserve. And when debt is sold to the Federal Reserve, they pay for it by printing money, literally. Well, crediting it to the bank account of the U.S. government. So now this is, I think what we're going to be seeing in the years to come is much, much higher levels of inflation. And I think the dollar is eventually going to turn into a hot potato because there are, nobody knows for sure, but at least 10 trillion of the things outside the U.S. and foreigners don't have to hold them. It's just a matter of convenience for them to hold them. So they can all come back to the U.S.
Yeah, you mentioned rising inflation. Given that there could be policies which are protectionist in nature, tariffs on trade, and not only in the U.S. but in other countries, could that spell a stagflationary economy with slowing economic growth but rising inflation?
Exactly correct. But it's going to be worse than stagflation because these countries start putting up tariffs, it's going to be exactly what happened with the Smoot-Hawley situation under Hoover. And people can't sell to you at the same time. They don't have the ability to buy from you. And it leads to hard feelings. And governments starting to blame other people for the problems that causes. It can lead to wars. And the nature of war itself is going to be much different in the future than it has been even in the recent past. So kind of hold on to your hat. And another thing that's kind of interesting is what's going on in the U.S. with the Trump administration. And for all, and it is an excellent chance, the same thing will be going on in Holland and in France after their elections, all through Europe. Well, Erdogan in Turkey, a lot of things like this. In the U.S., I've never seen anything like what's going on right now. The way that people in the so-called red counties and blue counties, it's not just a political disagreement like the past. This is visceral hatred. And it's I don't see how it can end well.
Yeah. I mean, could there be a backlash against Trump in this, maybe driven by the millennial generation in terms of like a movement back and very strongly towards socialism? This is quite unnerving, scary. But the idea of, you know, sort of growing backlash against Trump through the media and just picking up steam over the next few years. Do you see that potentially happening?
I do, actually, because don't forget that Obama, who is a self-proclaimed progressive, and almost every idea that I've heard come out of his mouth is a bad one, he was not only elected. I mean, okay, give the nice black guy a chance. I understand that. But then he was reelected. And, you know, Hillary won the popular vote. And once again, going back to demographics, every 4 years, there are about 2% more of the kind of people that voted for Hillary in this last election. I don't think Trump, I think he's a one-term president at best. And the next president, because I think we're going to be in the middle of an economic catastrophe, quite frankly, Americans are likely to vote for, you know, somebody that's leftist, that's going to, you know, promise that the government's a cornucopia. And, you know, if we get into trouble with the Chinese or the Russians, they might go for a general, which is a double disaster.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I'm glad that I
spend probably three quarters of the year either traveling or in Argentina, usually, because oddly, Argentina, which is the country where money goes to die historically, Argentina is one of the few countries in the world that is actually improving.
Yes.
So I'm a fan of Macri. He's not moving fast enough, not nearly fast enough, but he's done a lot of things that at least are steps in the right direction, unlike anything in the U.S. Well, Trump is doing some good things. I mean, you know, some bad things as far as wanting to raise duties and things of this nature and throw even more money at the military. The last thing that's needed is to throw money at the military. But it's a mixed bag.
And speaking of Trump, how does one generically invest in a Trump world, given all of these risks and trends?
Well, one of the good things about Trump is that he's going to move to gut the EPA. It actually ought to be abolished, quite frankly. I'm very involved in the mining exploration business. And it means that mineral prospects in the U.S., which, you know, it used to be if you found, a gold deposit, but I look at uranium and nickel and copper and all of these things. Mm-hmm. But it used to be say, hey, it's like having a gold mine, and they'd put it into production like the next day. But now it takes 10 years from the time that you find it to the time that maybe you'll get approval to produce it. Yeah. And then you're going to get sued by NGOs and Indian groups and God knows who else. So mining is going to have a resurgence in the U.S. So that's good. So I think mining stocks, the mining industry, incidentally, I've been involved in it for many years. It's a horrible industry. It's a 19th century choo-choo train industry.
Okay.
I've got a lot of thoughts on that, but that are a bit off topic. But I think mining is the best place to be because the stock market is grossly overpriced by any reasonable parameter. Mm-hmm. So that's an accident waiting to happen at this point.
Yeah.
And the bond market's even worse.
Yeah.
I mean, we're at the end of a we're at the bubble end of a 35-year bull market in bonds. I mean, it's bonds are the biggest bubble in world history at this point.
Yes.
And, Richard, you there?
Yeah, still there. And what about on precious metals and farmland? Do you like those?
Well, commodities are very, very cheap right now. The peak of most of the commodities was back in 2011. And at this point, I really like the grains, which are down 50%. That's a lot.
Yeah.
And yeah, I do, actually. All the commodities are cheap. And I think in the inflationary environment that we're going to have in the future, even though the economy itself is going to be going down, prices are going to be going way up. And I think food commodities like cattle and the grains, they're the place to be. I'm in Uruguay and Argentina, and we own a lot of land down here that's agricultural. So I'm kind of putting my money where my mouth is, actually.
Yeah, and also much lower cost of living. I know you have a strong emphasis on coming from an international perspective on investing and in living.
Yeah, that's true. I've been fortunate over the last 30 years in being paid to live in places because, I played polo for many years, and including Palm Beach, which was extraordinarily expensive, and I didn't like it. So I'd go to the countries where you could play polo for the price of playing a regular sport, and it was generally because the country itself was very cheap, and you could get things at bargain-level prices. So absolutely, I think it's a big mistake on the part of most people to act like a plant because they were born in some country, and the U.S. has been the best place to have been born for, my lifetime. But things change, and you should go where your money and yourself are treated best, and that's no longer in the U.S.
Those are wise words and great insights, Doug. Thank you very much. Can you provide our listeners a link or where they could get more information about your work and your current thoughts?
Yeah, thank you, Richard. We, KC Research, we have several free blogs as well as paid publications. So just go to kcresearch.com. That's one place. And, of course, go to Amazon to read reviews on Speculator.
Yeah.
So those would be the two things.
Excellent. Great. Thank you very much, Doug. We'll talk again another time. Thank you.
The FRA Roundtable Insight Show is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the show each involve their own unique risk factors which are not discussed on the show. Any discussions among the panel participants or responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the panel participants and do not take into consideration the listener's suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Please be advised that you invest or speculate at your own risk.